Listening to C-Suite Exclusives here on Atlanta Business Radio X, and I've got another great show for you today featuring 101 Best and Brightest Companies to Work For. So Business Radio X has decided to do some special episodes of our C-Suite Exclusive shows, specifically spotlighting the people participating or the companies participating in the Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For Awards. And I've got with me today Nicholas Downey, who is the principal of Needworks. And he's in the studio suite with me, going to share some of the C-suite exclusive secrets to his success. As you all know, Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For is an awards competition, providing the business community with the opportunity to gain recognition, showcase best practices, and demonstrate why they are an ideal place for employees to work. This is the premier awards symposium that celebrates those companies that are making the lives of their employees better, as well as the community as a whole. The program provides year-long education, benchmarking, assessment tools, and interaction between and amongst the best employees. So, Nicholas, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Glad to be here.
So I want to find out more about your company, Needworks. What do you guys do?
We are a custom software company, and we specialize in an area of software called enterprise resource planning, which is a fancy way to say really big databases that manage people and time and money. And we do that for a lot of the large companies here in Atlanta. And we also work with small companies in Atlanta, helping them get some of their ideas for business software into a realized position.
Okay. And are you the founder of the organization?
I am the founder. That's right. We started in 1999. It was a sole proprietor for a long time. And in early 2010, I started to have a problem that most people would like to have, where there was too much money in the account and Uncle Sam was coming for a chunk, and the accountant said, I suggest you hire some people. And so with that, we started to put together a team, and we've been growing steadily ever since.
Well, it's exciting to be a part of a growth organization.
Truly.
And I'm sure that there's been a lot of ups and downs along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Have you faced challenges amongst your path to success?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the most difficult things for me is building my team. So I'm very, very selective about who comes to work for me. I'm looking for all kinds of personality traits. And, you know, literally 3 months into hiring people, I was dismissing them. Didn't have the right attitude, didn't have the right performance, weren't delivering. And truthfully, that is the largest challenge that I find on a recurring basis, is trying to attract, retain, and keep that talent. There was a great piece this morning on NPR about there's a dearth of technology people in Georgia. The Technology Association of Georgia is saying that we're going to need to add at least 85,000 technology graduates a year just to keep up with the technology demands in Metro Atlanta.
Wow, how are we going to meet that kind of a demand?
I don't know. Lower tuition rates at Georgia Tech? I wish I had a good answer for that. It's tricky, and that's the thing.
So it's a skill set that's in a high demand.
Truly, truly. And that's the funny thing, is that if you are an engineer in this town and you are good at what you do, you are employed, and that's all there is to it.
So if you're participating in America's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For, you must have figured out some secrets of attracting and retaining the best kind of employees.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's a number of things. All my employees get the same deal. They owe me 40 hours a week, but every hour that they work in excess of that, they're getting paid basically their salary divided by a man year. And over and above that, we offer full 401k, full health care coverage with a nice, it's a premium plan, full medical and dental, profit sharing, flex time. Truly, we are all about the employee, and frankly, we have to be if we're going to compete with Coke and UPS and the other folks who are trying to get these people as well.
Right. So why did you participate in the Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For competition?
You know, that's a great question. My director of operations, Suzanne Hayes, is really proud of the work that we do to incentivize employees and retain them. And, you know, it's not just a business decision, it's also about people. I'm trying to build a team. And she felt a good way for us to kind of give back to the technology community in general was to showcase what we are doing for our employees. Hopefully, that we can inspire other people to behave the same way. It's one of these ones where some of my customers say to me, "So, do you offshore this development work?" And I say, "Absolutely not. All my engineers are right here in Atlanta. They're all local. They're all, you know, either permanent residents or citizens, and that's very important to me. They all report to my office. They're not in California or Zimbabwe. They're right here in Atlanta." And both, you know, my wife and I strongly believe that it's up to business leaders in this community to reestablish America as a premier workplace. We're kind of anti-outsourcing, if you will. So.
I like that. We like to hear about creating more jobs, especially here in Atlanta.
Truly, it's important.
So, when you look at the com your vision for the company in the future, I'm sure there's a lot of strategic planning that goes along with being in your position.
Certainly, certainly.
What types of things do you have to consider when you're charting the future course for the company?
In a custom software company, it's difficult. It's not like we have stacks of retainers with huge companies that guarantee payroll month after month after month. We're constantly chasing new business. So one of my strategic decisions is looking at new business. And so it's good for me to be able to go to clients and say, "Look, we are an Atlanta-based company. We have 15 Atlanta-based employees. We're in your time zone. We're native English speakers. You can come to our office and scream at us if you'd like to." And so, over and above that, one of the key things that we've started to do is we've really started to focus on attracting more co-ops and interns. So we're going to take people from nothing, train them to the way we would like them to think and work, so that when they are ready to graduate, we've got a great talent pool that we can hopefully attract to come back to the company. Over and above that, it's just a matter of navigating, you know, everyday business decisions, but we're always on the prowl for new talent and for new clients.
What about business development? How have you captured your current clients, and how do you look at marketing the company?
You know, it's interesting. I have to keep my sales guy and Suze on a short leash because they get great traction. When they get in front of people, we get deals. And I'm at the point right now where I can't hire people fast enough to fill the work that I have. And so Frank Lloyd Wright's got a great quote, and he says, "The difference between a businessman and a professional is that to a businessman, money making is primary. To a professional, money making is a byproduct of your quality of work. People come hunt you down because they want what you've got and they're going to pay you for it." And so we fancy ourselves professionals. And when I say to you that just about every piece of business we've ever gotten is by direct referral from a previous client, that is no word of a lie.
Very nice. Loyal clients are the foundation upon which a strong
Absolutely.
business is built.
Absolutely. And I tell my new guys, "Look, we'll take a loss or we'll break even on that first deal with that client because a repeat client is almost guaranteed business if you make them happy the first time. They're going to call you. They're going to come back to the person that showed them a successful way forward the first time."
So, what types of solutions do you provide to clients? I know it's a diverse array of IT and software integration, services and products. Tell us a little bit more about that bundle and what
Sure
you
thing.
guys sell.
We like to fancy ourselves as the anti-SAP. So I don't know if you're familiar with SAP. It's an enormous software package. It claims to be the everything software. As you're going through Atlanta Airport, you'll see the UN World Food Program runs SAP, and you know, all these other huge multinationals run SAP. And it has a place in the market. I'm not attacking a competitor, but very oftentimes when people purchase something on that level, they expect that it's going to solve their world. And what they often find out is that they are going to have to adjust their business process to fit into the software. And we are the antithesis to that. You know your process. You know your people. We are going to build the software around your process. And so what we do is we try to sit down and find out where the pain points are. Is your data too big? Is it not on the web? Is it not fast? Is it not accessible? What is really, why did you call me? What problem am I here to solve? And so we have strong acumen both in business process and in technology. And so we look right away for where your pain is and what the fastest way that we can solve it is. And if the fastest way we can solve it is to say, "Hire this other firm over here because they can do it quickly," then we feel like we've done the customer right. However, Some of the stuff that we do offer is a lot of customers call us when they have a database that's broken, that's just not working anymore, or they have a database that's about to be broken. They can see on the horizon that this is not going to succeed for the next 6-12 months. So everything from helping people rethink their technology choices, both in software and in hardware, perhaps rethinking process if they want to, and respinning screens. It's funny, oftentimes either myself or one of my business analysts will go sit with that lady who clicks the button all day long and say, what would be better? What can I do to this screen? Can I make it a bigger button or a smaller button, or should the button do something else? And we just sit and watch and then listen. And truly, that's the difference. We come back a week later with a new interface, a new screen, a new way to get that job done, and we're heroes. We have instant buy-in. The users are on it, and they forget about the old system. User adoption is really the key to our success. And so everything from making the IT guys feel better, yes, we meet your internal audit, and we already know what it is before you even come to us, right? So here's all of the security stuff that we adhere to. Here are all the principles we implement. Here are all the technologies we run. And you can see them breathe a sigh of relief. They're like, oh, somebody who gets it. And then, so over and above that, you know, we're focused on driving value. We know that custom software is expensive. So when it comes time to talk to the CFO, I'm going to give you a very honest breakdown of where you're spending your money and how you're going to see a return on that investment. So you can imagine anything related to technology with a strong, you know, it's funny, from time to time people will say, you're not one of those guys that gets up here and wants to tell me about the technology. No, I'm not, because you're probably not interested in the technology. You want your problem solved, right? Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Okay, well, that's what we're driving at here. We've done this enough that we know each of the different players and what they need to have and feel for a comfort zone to move forward with a project. And that's a lot of the reason why people come back to us again and again. So,
awesome. Well, that sounds like you're providing an exceptional value proposition to the marketplace
there. We like to think so. Yeah.
Now, would you say that your employees are the key to your success?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's I couldn't do it without them. I absolutely have to have every last one of them. And again, they're absolutely handpicked. So typically, when new employees start out, we have a training program. And the training program divides around the different areas of services that we do. And it's a self-guided training program. So the faster you move through it, the faster you move on to real work. And while you're in training, you're either working on a one-on-one basis with myself or with my vice president of engineering. So, you know, you see that the leadership has buy-in and you're learning the ropes. And, you know, it pays off in spades. So when people know that they don't have to worry about their health care or their vision or the dental, when people know they're going to get paid for working on the weekend, when people know that they're going to participate in profit sharing in the company, they do. They work on the weekend. I get emails from my UI team at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, before the demo to say, hey, we tweaked this just a little bit to make it the tiniest bit better. And I'm like, why aren't you guys asleep? Like, and so,
it's nice to have that kind of dedication.
Truly, truly. Yeah. And so, you know, from time to time, you'll get an email from a wife that says, you know, you've really driven my husband's happiness and his success, and our family is better as a result of it. Thank you. Or a mom will show up to the office and say, thank you for giving my son a job. And I'm like, your son's awesome. And she'll be like, yeah, don't tell him that. And so, but that's, you know, really, and truthfully, that's where it comes down to, is I can leave the office and go chase a deal or hold a hand or, you know, help somebody make a decision. And I know that I have a fleet of rock stars who have got my back. I can make one phone call, find out anything I want, or get something in motion. And it really is amazing what you can do in a short period of time with a group of people who are all smarter than you. And
so as a leader, I mean, you obviously believe in developing the talent amongst your employees.
Yeah.
As the leader of the company, you must also believe in the investment in your own leadership skills.
Sure.
How do you develop as a business professional and stay on the cutting edge of what's going on in your industry?
You know, it's funny. It's hard. It's very hard. So I read a lot. Parents are very good at picking me up books on leadership, so I try to consume all those with gusto. I do look for inspiration in other leaders, and it's difficult. So, you know, there's a lot of these lessons that you learn in leadership that you learn the hard way, right? So, you know, do not berate people in public. You know, you're not allowed to fly off the handle. You always have to be cool. You know, do payroll the night before. You know, just this stuff like that, right? And it's one of those trial by fire. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to recover from each one of those without serious repercussion. And so, for better or for worse, I learned the hard way. Now, staying abreast of the industry stuff is difficult. And one of the things that I try to articulate with my clients is that just because something is fashionable in the technology arena, or it's popular, or it's cool, does not mean that it's well-suited for the Fortune 50 company, right? So maybe in a little proof of concept, we're doing something cool over here, but you're not going to install this technology in your data center. Like they're looking.
So do people get sucked in by sexy technology and think that they want to have the latest and greatest
Absolutely.
Of everything?
Absolutely. We fight that battle all the time. People say, well, do you guys do blah, 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 blah? And I said, well, we can if you'd really like us to. Why would you like us to do that? Well, it's the new hot, cool thing. I was reading about it out on Slashdot and gotta have it. Okay. Tell me about what you're trying to achieve here. What's the long-term goal? And usually that conversation precipitates maybe we don't want to use the hot new fashionable thing. And I say, yeah, mature technology. There's a funny joke. So do you know the definition of legacy software?
That's the old software. Right?
Legacy is software that works. Okay. People don't rip out software that works. And that's the truth. So, you know, technologies in the enterprise get established for a reason. They get established because they do work. There's a comfort zone around IT. Legal is not afraid of them, and the CFO feels like he's getting his money's worth. So we do look to establish players. So, for example, cloud computing is a big deal. My VP of engineering has a great idea for a commercial, and there's a couple of companies out there that claim that they can sell you this device and you drop it in your office and you plug it in and your data's on the cloud. And he says you need to have two kind of Dilbert guys standing there, and one of them squirting a water bottle saying, can you feel the rain? Like being up in the cloud. And that's the thing, is a lot of folks don't really get it. So when you think about a company like Amazon, however, they have a great cloud offering. So we have started to, I mean, cloud computing is unfortunately a nebulous word, but a lot of companies want to get in there.
Isn't that a little redundant?
It is a redundant. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Yep. Every technologist you're going to sit down with is going to give you a different definition of cloud computing, but there's a lot of people that claim to do it. It's been around for a little while. We feel like it has finally in the last year or two started to hit maturity. So we've been trying to drive some of our clients into thinking about it, mainly because there are huge cost advantages. But when you talk about other bleeding edge technologies, again, my client base is the Fortune 50, the Fortune 100. We are going after the enterprise. We want the big boys. And they are not always receptive to what's new and fresh and hip and cool. They want to know what's going to last the long haul at 10 billion transactions a second.
Okay, so yeah. They'd rather wait a year, 18 months, 2 years
correct.
To make sure somebody else takes that risk.
That's exactly correct. They want to see their competitors take
the
risk,
out.
Fail, figure it out, and then they'll play with it. And so,
I mean, amongst the big market players, are there, like, there's always the company that does kind of stay on the bleeding edge, but they've got enough.
So oftentimes what you'll see in the enterprise is that there will be a couple technology groups that are allowed to play in the new space. And so literally they carve them off what's called a demilitarized zone in the data center. And those guys are allowed to play over there. They're heavily isolated from the group. They can try it out, get a proof of concept working, and then give the old guys the warm fuzzy. And then we'll talk about how we're going to integrate it into the rest of the system. And so having said that, you know, one of the things that I do love is walking my engineering floor and all the young guys show me the new cool stuff. Check this out. This thing just came out today. We just mashed it up with this dude over here and it's really cool. And when I was a co-op, I used to write software, and I always hated it because the owner of the company had this amazing power. I would debug my stuff for days, every test case I could think of, and he'd walk up and he'd touch it and it would break. I'd be like, how did you do that? It was so infuriating. Now I have that power, right? So these guys will throw to something cool that's all brand new, fresh, hip stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's neat, and I'll push a button and the whole thing will explode, and then everybody's embarrassed, and, you know, we just keep moving forward from there. So,
Well, it sounds like you guys have a good time while you're achieving good success
truly
in the marketplace. as a recipient of the award, how stringent was the best and brightest analysis and selection process?
So this is another excellent question, and I'm embarrassed to tell you, I have no idea. Suzanne Hayes did all the work. She filled out all the forms and jumped through all the hoops.
So isn't that nice? You're in the C-suite, and a lot of stuff can happen without you having to get involved at all.
Truly.
What are your thoughts about delegation and how to do it properly?
It's really hard. It's really hard. One of the hardest decisions that I've made in the last couple of years was to hire a vice president of engineering. He has complete technical authority. And for an engineer myself, I'm a Georgia Tech grad, letting go of those day-to-day decisions on how the product will be built and how the systems will be structured and what we're going to actually deliver to the client in its final form was really, really difficult for me. However, it was one of the best decisions I've made. He has been a great value to the team. He's been a good mentor for the new engineers, incredibly smart, so they instantly have his respect. He's made some excellent design decisions that have moved forward for me. And so delegation is always a learning tool. As you move up this chain where your authorities grow and shrink and shift, if you don't delegate, you die. And that's all there is to it. There's just so many hours in the day. And, you know, my wife will tell you right now that I don't get enough sleep as it is. And you just have to let it go. And that's really how you stay on my team. The moment I can give you an ounce of responsibility and you deliver, then you're probably going to hang out for a little bit. So Suze has got wide authority and she executes superiorly. Kirk has wide authority and he executes superiorly. And so I feel really good about those. Another guy on my team, Wesley James, he's my senior account rep. You know, the only thing bigger for me than handing off technical authority is handing off the relationship. And Wesley babysits the relationships, and he does it spectacularly. And so I like to joke that one day I'll just be able to sit in my office and check my email. But that day's not here yet.
Not so. Quite here yeah. yet. Well, so. As you look at growing the company, what types of programs and policies do you offer employees to retain them and keep them jazzed about the opportunity to work for Needworks?
You know, we're... For most of my guys are under 25 or so, and so they don't yet have families, right? And for better or for worse, a lot of them don't get sick. They're fairly healthy. They exercise. They do their things. So the value of a health plan for them is not that big. However,
right.
I do have two brand new fathers on my staff as well. And not only do we cover the employee, but we also cover their whole family, right? So they don't pay a dime for that. So those are the moms that call me and say, thank you for the no trip to the, or the no bill for the trip to the hospital. Right. So that's good for them. For the younger guys, it was really fun. So we just did our first profit sharing distribution 2 weeks ago. And,
exciting.
It was awesome. I can't tell you how freaking cool it was. Just reviewing the list of employees and the number that was going to go. So we deposit, the profit sharing is done in a 401k plan so that they don't have to pay taxes on it right away. And just to look at the numbers that we were depositing into their accounts, literally, I was moved to tears. I was like, this is going to rock their worlds. They have no idea. And so it was awesome. I had a little dinner party at the house, and we gave out envelopes and said, this is your number. And everybody was just real quiet for a couple minutes. And so it was fabulous. It was fabulous.
That's
so,
really cool. Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, I am chatting with Nicholas Downey, the principal of Needworks. And this is Atlanta Business Radio X, spotlighting Atlanta's best and brightest companies to work for. Nicholas, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you if you could give us one C-suite tip, if you will, something that as other leaders are looking to develop themselves and achieve similar type of success with their organization, what's a tip you might have for them from the C-suite?
The best tip that I can give to anybody else who's in my position is a tip that my father gave to me, and it relates directly back to your previous question about delegation. The way you're going to get the most effective work out of your employees is to give them enough rope to hang themselves with and take the phone call when it's time to cut them down and stand by them the whole way.
Great, great leadership insight. Great story from Nicholas Downey. Nicholas, if people want to find out more about the company, where can they go?
Absolutely. Our website is www.needworks.com, NEADWERX, or you can call me directly. I'm 678-296-8677. Love to hear from you.
Terrific. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another great show. Check out more Atlanta Business Radio X at atlantabusinessradiox.com, and I'll talk to you soon.
the business.